Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of our Talking with Heroes talk show program. I am Bob Calvert, the founder of www.talkingwithheroes.com, and your host for tonight's program. We also have an online news site with articles posted daily for, by, and about our troops, veterans, families, and those organizations and companies who support them. It's www.thankyouforyourservice.us. And for those of you who are maybe listening for the first time, whether it's live or weeks and months down the road, we've been on the air now for 9 years. I started this as an audio program back December 2005. And then from 2006 to 2011, we were all video on 5 trips to Iraq and 3 to Afghanistan. Interviews, filming inside the wire, outside the wire, in villages across Iraq and Afghanistan, interviewing local people, basically covering what most people in America haven't really heard a lot about, the progress and the great things that our men and women did over there to help the people. And so we got hundreds of videos on our YouTube page, and just noticed earlier today we've gone over 267,000 who have watched one or more of these amazing videos unedited. If you've been wondering, you know, what did our men and women do over there other than what you heard on the news, just watch them. It's just amazing watching the numbers grow 3 years later since my last trip over there. And but for the past 6 months, we had already gone back to an audio program doing, basically because of some health issues, I haven't been able to do much outside of here. And so for the last 6 months, we've been helping create audio programs like we're doing tonight for now over 30 military support groups who are all members and some strategic partners like Rally Point with R4 Alliance. It's www.R4Alliance.org. And R4 Alliance is so exciting to me because I've always felt like people that are working to support the group, the troops, should try to find ways to work together. Well, it took a whole bunch of veterans, as you've been hearing if you've been following this program now, and military families and caregivers to put this alliance together. It's a membership of programs of excellence, providing therapeutic and community-based recreation services to our military family. They're focused and committed to achieving the highest quality services through collaborative efforts in research, education, standards of excellence, economic viability, and continuum of care across our service communities. We believe these services are essential to the holistic rehabilitation and reintegration of our military family. Now, if you're just hearing about this for the first time, obviously you can go to r4alliance.org. You can see all their members. But if you'd like to see who we've interviewed so far, which of these 30 organizations and veterans and caregivers, and actually coming up, some teenagers who will be talking about growing up in a military family with deployments, you can go to our news site, thankyouforyourservice.us, and there's an article on the left column entitled talkingwithheroes.com, features new programs with members of r4alliance.org. Tonight, I am excited to once again introduce another member of R4 Alliance and another veteran. Retired Lieutenant Colonel John J. McDaniel is a U.S. Army 20-year veteran. He is the CEO and the founder of an organization called Wounded Warriors in Action Foundation. And I'll repeat this later. The website is www.wwiaf.org. So I want to welcome retired Lieutenant Colonel John J. McDaniel. Thank you for your service to our country, sir, and welcome to the program.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's an honor to be here. I certainly appreciate all that you've done with Talking with Heroes. And as you mentioned, our connections with R4 Alliance, we recently joined that consortium. We're a proud member, and it's a pleasure to be on your program here. So I want to first thank you all and for this opportunity, and hopefully tonight we can share a little bit about the foundation, what we do, who we are, and what the future looks like for us.
Absolutely. You know, that's the plan tonight.
You mentioned briefly about my military career. You know, people, lots of folks ask me, you know, okay, why are you doing this and what are you doing? Well, you know, the short story is after 20 years of serving in the Army, I was an infantry officer and did a lot of work in the special operations arena and the interagency arena. At the end of that 20-year career, I was thinking very seriously about what I would do when I took off the uniform. And I wrote three things down on a piece of paper that were important to me. One, you know, this country and this idea of service to her. Two, the men and women that get wounded serving her. And three, hunting and fishing. So I combined all three of those things, and I came up with the Wounded Warriors in Action Foundation. Our mission is real simple and clean. We provide world-class outdoor sporting activities to our nation's combat wounded Purple Heart recipients. And we do that at no cost to the heroes. And today, I mean, this is our ninth year of operation. I started doing this in 2006, actually, taking heroes, combat wounded heroes out of the James A. Haley Poly Trauma Center here in Tampa, and taking them fishing and hunting, and it really started to change my life, and I know it was having a positive impact on them, connecting them with nature and getting them out of the hospitals and getting them back into action. And so, here we are 9 years later, and our foundation is doing, I think, some awesome things. We have about 50 operations in 35 different states and three foreign countries. So it's and we serve about 200 Purple Hearts a year. So it's very exciting. We've got operations, you know, all over the place, and the heroes really, really enjoy what we're doing. And that's what I'd like to talk about today if we can.
Oh, absolutely. Wow, that's impressive. I mean, I've read a little bit about you, but I've already learned more from what you just said. 50 operations in 35 states and three foreign countries. That is incredible. Well, why does this work, fishing and hunting? Why does this work?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a great question. You know, I grew up hunting and fishing. My dad was a sportsman. And whenever I had troubled times or I was struggling with things, you know, returning back to the basics, getting out into nature, hunting and fishing was just a way for me to sort of clear my head and get back to the basics and focus on things that are important. And I think it's not just hunting and fishing. You know, that's our platform or our diving board, if you will. You know, that's the start point. And really why it works. Mostly, there's layers of things here that are important. One, okay, yeah, we've got a hunting and fishing opportunity that's world class, and that's our mission. You know, provide a world class outdoor sporting activity, and that's the attractor, if you will. But once we get into that space, you know, to understand it, is to admire it, I think. And here you've got sportsmen across the country who've reached out to the foundation. You know, we've not paid anybody to do these services. These are all volunteer sportsmen across the country who've come to the foundation and said, I know what you're doing and I want to help. So automatically, you know, you've got a welcome mat there and an opportunity that, we would otherwise never have. So I've got to give kudos where they're due to the American sportsmen and women out there who are saying, we want to help. So that's a huge piece to it right there. But secondly, the second, or third layer on top of that is, the fact that we're connecting these American heroes with each other. You know, this peer-to-peer contact, you know, of combat wounded Purple Heart recipients who share a bond, that very few people do. You know, and there's not a lot of Purple Heart recipients out there, thank God. Being the last count, there were some, you know, over 50,000 from post 911, but we serve all. I want to make it clear, we serve all eras of conflict, regardless of where you earned your medal, whether it was Vietnam, Korea, We even served World War II veterans before, but you know, not so much anymore. God bless them. But you know, it's mostly you know, modern era combat veterans post 9/11. But we've got a growing support base from the Vietnam veterans, which we're extremely proud and happy you know, happy to do that. But I guess the you know, answering the question, why does it work? I think you layer all those things on there. And have this nature as the backdrop, and doing something outdoors, connecting them with American sportsmen, connecting them with each other. You know, you really end up with a very magical equation, and that's what we do.
That's neat. You're saying, I've never heard this figure before, there's 50,000 Purple Heart veterans post 9/11.
That's right, yeah. We've got on our website, wwiaf.org, we've got a link to the government who is, you know, tracking on a daily basis the wounded from each, you know, from the different OIF, OEF, and New Dawn, all the operations that are happening, you know, out there, have happened out there since 9/11. So last time I checked, it was over 50,000. So yeah, there's a lot of them out there, and you know, I'm sorry to say, but you know, the United States, unfortunately, is not done waging conflict and waging war, and so you know, I think this is something that, you know, is needed. We are a niche provider, if you will. But, you know, our notoriety is growing every day, and we get new applications from heroes who say they want to participate. You know, and another really neat thing that we're doing is, you know, it started with me just running around the country, you know, for many, many years on every mission and leading these events. And now there's too many of them, and it was never designed to that way. My intentions were always to, you know, grow a team. And so now we've got these Purple Heart recipients that are out there leading their peers. You know, we superimpose some leadership into these events. So you've got, you know, Purple Heart recipients leading other Purple Hearts on these events. And that's a pretty special thing as well.
Absolutely. One of the common denominators I've heard week after week of, you know, talking with R4 Alliance members and veterans and caregivers is these organizations, I guess pretty much all of them, veterans helping veterans is what you're saying, right?
Yeah. Well, for sure.
That's
you know, what I found is my experience is, you know, everybody who joins a service branch and raises the right hand and swears to uphold the Constitution of the United States, you know, they have a service mentality, or they wouldn't be serving their country. And just because they've been wounded doesn't mean that that service mentality or that need to serve goes away. And oftentimes it's actually strengthened after they've been wounded. And so we have a pipeline of our associates that we train and prepare to you know, lead these operations afield. And you know, that pipeline continues to grow. But I'm continually amazed and humbled by these tremendous men and women who've been wounded. Some of them, you know, their lives have been inexorably changed, the very severely wounded. But their desire to continue to serve, even though they can't wear a uniform anymore due to the nature of their injuries, they still want to serve. And the foundation gives them an opportunity to do that. So, yeah, that was something I really didn't see, you know, when I thought about starting the foundation. I didn't foresee that as such a strong and important component of our work, but it actually is.
Absolutely. So you mentioned American sportsmen, you mentioned the veterans. Why is the connection with American sportsmen, the communities you're in, and the supporters so important to the healing process?
Yeah, that's a great question, Bob. And I think the answer is, number one, because people care about them. You know, it's an expression that what they did is not forgotten and was extremely valued. And so if you're a hero and you don't know who we are, really, you know, you just filled out an application, you're getting ready to go on an event, you know, and there's some intrepidation about getting on an airplane, and some anxiety about going to meet people that you don't know and do something, you know, hopefully that you're going to enjoy and have fun. And I think a lot of them experience that, and then they show up, and all of a sudden, you know, all those barriers and friendships and communication are basically stripped away when you're well received. You know, we pick them up at the airport, or we link up with them if they're driving, and immediately they're surrounded by fellow warriors and who care about them, and the host who is, you know, done a great deal of planning, and who is offering of his land and offering of his bounty and opening his family and his or her home to these heroes. And I think it's the expression, that expression between the host, the American sportsman, and the communities that's supporting these events. These events can't be pulled off by themselves. So many of these hosts are conducting fundraising activities that help, you know, offset and defray the cost of doing business for us. You know, our cost per hero, and we spend about $1,850 per hero served. We pay for the lodging, we pay for the licensing, we pay for the travel, we, you know, pay for the game processing, all of those things that actually pull off this event, are covered, so the hero doesn't have to worry about it. And so he leaves after that experience feeling enriched. He's met people that have welcomed them into their homes, and have made their lives better, even if it was just a short weekend. And so, you know, I think that, you know, and the other, another layer there, as you mentioned, is the community. You know, they, I mean, we've had, you know, the motorcycle groups show up, and American Legion riders and other motorcycle groups to escort the heroes from the hotel to the event site, or from the airport to the event site. And it just amazes me, and Americans, especially the sportsmen, they're very, very patriotic. And this is just their way of saying, hey, what you did is important, and it's of great value to us, and we care about you. And that's why I think it works.
That is neat. I wanted to ask you another question, but I was noticing your background, John, is amazing. Obviously, you've got awards. Why don't you share us about that? But you also, you have a Master of Business Administration. You've been a successful entrepreneur, business developer, former CEO in the private sector. You're a certified U.S. Guard captain, a senior certified USA hockey coach. I'm sure you have a lot of stories. Alone. An outdoor enthusiast and an avid chess player. I mean,
yep.
Amazing. And you're doing this.
Yeah, well, you forgot the fact, because it's not in your notes there, but I'm also a happily married man with my wife Lisa, and I just had a baby boy, Dylan. So you can add the most important thing on there, which is father.
Absolutely.
That just happened.
Congratulations.
So thank you very much. We're very, very proud of Dylan, and it's wonderful. But, you know, yeah, I mean, my military career, I mean, I'll just tell you my top, my three high, the three awards I'm most proud of, I guess. You know, my Combat Infantryman's Badge, you know, I earned that in Panama back in 1989, 90 during the invasion. You know, really proud of that. Very proud of my master parachutist wings as a jump master, and my Ranger tab. I mean, those are my three most coveted things, all of which were earned, in one way or another. And I'm very, very proud of those. And as far as my education goes, I'm a proud. Graduate from the University of Wisconsin, Madison, go Badgers, and then later went on and got my MBA. And, you know, after my military career, did some work in the private sector in aviation, and successful in doing that. And I've worked for other companies as well, doing business development and so forth. So this to me was just the foundation was a way for me to do something that I was very passionate about. A lot of people work out there to earn a paycheck, but they don't really love what they do. And You know, when I was getting ready to launch the foundation, you know, one of the most important things I learned, and everybody says it, yeah, find something that you're passionate about and learn, you know, how to turn that into a career of some sort. You know, it's easy to say, but I don't know a lot of people that actually mm-hmm. did it. So when I wrote those, you know, things down on the paper, you know, this country, our combat wounded and hunting and fishing, you know, I thought long and hard about how it is that I could turn those three things that I'm very passionate about into something that made a difference in the world. And for the listening audience out there, to include the, you know, the troops that might be listening, you know, God bless you. Shout out to you guys for all your hard work and hopefully you stay safe out there doing your thing. I want you to know that what you're doing is extremely valuable. These are difficult times, of course, for the world, really, I think. But what you're doing is outstanding, and you're all to be commended. And you know, it's an honor to be here and for me to do what I do, which is, you know, serve these tremendous Purple Heart heroes.
Absolutely. Now, I was also reading in what you sent me. Actually, I think I read it on your website, too. But part of your vision is to establish 4 regional healing centers across America.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading the world's first eco-friendly American Disability Act compliant healing centers designed to mm-hmm. be run and administrated by wounded warriors. Why don't you share that about that with us?
Well, Bob, thanks for mentioning that. Yeah, well, that was the original vision, and I'll tip for shooters for the like-minded businessmen and women out there. You know, you have a vision in your head, right? Hey, this is what I want to do. You know, mm-hmm. shoot for the stars, of course. But my vision initially was to build these healing centers, and I purchased some land up in northern Wisconsin, and we called that place Camp Hackett. And it's in the middle of nowhere, really. It's a very remote parcel of land. It's 410 acres in northern Wisconsin near Phillips, Wisconsin. And I started taking the heroes up there. Well, you know, it takes a lot of money to build an ADA, American Disabilities Act compliant lodge. You know, that was the start point for what we started doing. But what actually happened was, you know, the American sportsmen across the country started finding out what we were doing and saying, hey, I want to help. And so the way that I figured out, you know, how to serve more heroes wasn't necessarily by just building these healing centers. It was to export these heroes across the country to sportsmen who wanted to serve them. And so our resource, mm-hmm. instead of going into building these healing centers, started to go into serving more heroes. And then that they're our clients. They're our customer. So, you know, we marched to the sound of the demand and didn't put those healing centers on hold. We continue to do that. We've got Camp Hackett, which is, you know, the land is now purchased. We've got that under control. We've got a bunkhouse there. And a 40-foot fifth wheel, and we do operations up there 3 or 4 times a year. We also have a healing center in Maine, one opening in Maine here shortly. It's about a 4,000 or 5,000 square foot facility that is ADA compliant. That's an amazing thing with access to over 40,000 acres. And we've got one in the great state of Washington that we built, you know, near Concrete, Washington. So, you know, there are 3 right now. And we're looking, you know, obviously for a 4th down the road, but each one of those are in various stages of development. So I guess my point is, you know, dream big, have a vision, but when you're listening to the demand, you know, you got to listen for that demand signal, whatever that is, whether you're selling a widget or providing a service, and march towards that sound of that demand, and that's what we've done. And it's really helped the foundation grow considerably. So, those healing centers are important. Why? Because, you know, we struggle to serve portion of our population, which is the very severely wounded, you know, those that are wheelchair bound. Most of our operations are not accessible, you know, fully accessible. You know, people don't have American Disabilities Act compliant lodges. You know, their homes are not built that way. You know, it takes special transportation needs. So we're going to build these healing centers, and we're going to do it right over a period of time, and we're going to be conscientious about our resources. But they will be built, and they will stand the test of time, and they'll be for our hero, the very severely wounded, and their families. So that's something that we are very keen on doing. We know it'll add a lot of depth to our operations. And it'll help us serve a portion of the population that we currently struggle to serve adequately, I guess is the best way of saying that.
Sure. Wow. I've been writing like crazy. Hope other people are taking notes too. Shoot for the stars, dream big, have a vision, march toward the sound.
Of the demand,
what was that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
demand.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So, I mean, my undergraduate degree is in economics, and so we studied a lot about supply and demand. And so, demand is something. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, as a business person, you think, well, hey, you know, this is, you know, I'm building this product or I'm providing this service. But if you don't listen to your customers, you know, really listen mm-hmm. to what they have to say and what is the need that you're serving and what is the demand. You know, there's a demand signal out there. I can promise you for just about everything from coffee cups to, you know, hunting and fishing. And so, you know, you just got to find a way to do that better than anybody. And so, you know, over the last 9 years, we've been very carefully building and crafting a team of professionals, you know, that have the right mindset, who have a service mentality, and who are absolutely committed to our mission in advancing the WWI cause.
Okay, this is great. I'm sitting here trying to keep myself level here. You're speaking to me with some of the things we're hoping to do later this year. I mean, I'm hoping mm-hmm. to be able to go back on the road again. It's been 3 years mm-hmm. being grounded here, dealing with
great.
Health stuff. But I would love to be able to come out, do what I did in 08 and 09, video talk show event at events.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk. I mean, definitely. So, okay, so you're a member of R4 Alliance. I always like to ask this. How
yep.
is being a member of R4 Alliance helping you all as far as being a membership and being a member? And how is this helping those you're helping?
Well, you know, we just formed the relationship. And we
mm-hmm.
did so very deliberately. You know, we were honored when we were approached by R4 saying, hey, you know, we think you're a good fit. And like with any other partnership, you know, we went slowly. You know, the three cups
right.
of tea concept, I wanted to make sure that it was a good fit for both organizations. So, you know, we did our due diligence and of course, they were highly recommended by many people that we spoke with. You know, Keith Tidball is our science advisor out of Cornell, a card-carrying PhD, 100-pound head guy. Happens to be a personal friend of mine. You know, he's on our staff, and he said, you should take a serious look at this, John. So we did, and, you know, it's a budding relationship right now, and that's great. But I will tell you that just the other day I got a call from a very nice woman who has her own foundation. She's part of the R4 Alliance, and she is in the wellness arena, you know, dealing with
mm-hmm.
you know, wellness and healing. So we had a great chat, and you know, what we're working on now, and, you know, we've been part of the Alliance for less than a month, but in that conversation, what we decided that we would take very seriously and look at developing a program of instruction was this idea of being a wellness coach. So, you know, I always say,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you had a dollar, okay, if you only had a dollar and you were, you know, going to invest it, right, would you invest it in a piece of hardware, a piece of software, a widget, or a human? You know, and the answer, in my opinion, ought to be in a human. You know, if you only had $1,
right.
invest it in a person. And so, we are investing in these heroes. And we have senior associates that are out there across the country. We have associates and senior associates that have been with us for quite a while. And some of these senior associates, they're all wounded warriors, first off. They all have Purple Hearts. They've all been with the foundation for at least 3 years, and they're just tremendous men. And you know, this idea of getting them certified, okay, and as a wellness coach will not only help them, but it'll also help those that they serve. So, you know, right off the bat, within 30 days, we've got a connection to another foundation, and we're developing a program of instruction right now. And then what we'll do is we'll fly them into a site, their team, and we'll fly our heroes into the same location, and we'll do a weekend and get our heroes certified as wellness instructors or wellness coaches. And so not only will it help them, but it'll also help those that they're serving. So, you know, that right there is a real nice benefit right off the bat. And we've only been, you know, we've only been together for a month now. So we're looking forward to that relationship with R4 growing and really networking, because that's what it's all about. I mean, you said that in your kickoff.
Exactly.
You know, idea of connecting like-minded organizations and like-minded people. So, yeah, it's all about the network.
Yeah, she's the one, I believe, right after I first put your show information out there on social networking pages, she emailed me and asked to talk to you. Yeah, okay.
Yep, Virginia, yep.
That's the way it works, right?
Yeah,
Virginia,
that's how it works. Absolutely, yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, we're excited about the future there and what it holds. You know, I think if your heart and guts are in the right place, good things are going to happen, you know, and I think that's what R4 is all about. It's a consortium of organizations and people who really do want to make a difference and are making a difference, you know. So, you know, we're excited about it. Yeah.
Yeah, between all the groups I've talked to so far, literally tens of thousands of veterans and active duty military families, caregivers have been helped. That's huge.
Yep.
And it's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, this is, Yeah, it's really exciting. So just before we finish up here, go into your website. You know, I'm a veteran or a military family, I'm active duty military, and I've heard this now. What do I do when I go to your website?
Well, you know, there's so much there. We've done. It's kind of like a Christmas tree. Honestly, there's a lot going on there. But you know, if you're a Purple Heart recipient, you know, and you are or know somebody who is, you know, direct them to the website, wwiaf.org or just wwia.org. We've got both those domains, you know, or Wounded Warriors in Action Foundation.org. I think we've got that too. So, but just Google WWIA, you'll find it. In the upper right-hand corner, there's a little section with a Purple Heart. You know, they click on that. And then it takes them to an electronic form. And we just we ask them to fill out a little bit about themselves and their desires, and, you know, what are they interested in doing. We ask them for a little bit of information about the nature of their injuries so that we can better serve them. And then we ask them for their Purple Heart documentation. So we validate, you know, their award and to ensure integrity in our program. And then they go into our queue. And then we've got a hero engagement specialist out in Washington, Karina Hart, who then does the call down. She stays in constant contact with our population. And we typically operate in, you know, groups of 3 to 5. It just makes the most sense, you know. Otherwise, guys get lost in the sauce. So, you know, they're used to operating in small groups, you know, team, five guys, you know, sort of thing. So, you know, and then they get a call and they say, hey, you know, you said you wanted to do dangerous game animal hunting. How would you like to go alligator hunting? Or how would you like to go hunt bears up in British Columbia? Or how would you like to go bill fishing out in Mexico? You know, I mean, so, you know, they're offered an opportunity to participate, and 9 times out of 10 they say yes, and the one time they say no, it's typically because they have a conflict, you know, a surgery or you know, maybe a baby in the family or something like this. But, you know, they say yes, and the next thing you know, they got some a hot little ticket in their hand, and they're you know, flying someplace and linking up with our team, and we're executing the event, and they're leaving with big smiles.
That's amazing. I know I'm running over a little bit, but I have all these questions coming up. I can ask more of them off the air, I guess. But you have operations, 50-plus operations, 35 different states. Is one of them, by any chance, by Fort Carson, you know, Peterson Air Force Base, Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs?
You know, I was stationed out there in the late 1990s, so I understand the Springs pretty well. You know, and we have done an elk hunt in Colorado in the past. I'm looking at my map. I got a map with dots on it. We've got one just over in the south in southern Colorado. We had one up in the Sangre de Cristos, which is north of the Springs. The biggest challenge with Colorado Springs and elk hunting typically is, you know, their tags. You know, the tags, the elk tags are really difficult to get a hold of. Most of them are drawn, and you know, it's really hard for us to orchestrate that hunt unless we get help from like the fish and game folks to get tags. And we're working on that. You know, it's some of the western states were big game, like elk, which is obviously a very highly sought after game animal. You know, are fairly difficult hunts for us to pull off. Simply because of the, you know, limited number of licensing tags that are available and the process that we have to go through to do it. But we have done operations in Colorado for sure. Great state.
Okay.
Love it.
Well, absolutely. Well, I can help you maybe get a group of soldiers together, veterans. I just happen to have a lot of them around me, including very close to me. And, you know, down the road here, we can talk about it. Maybe bring them someplace else, you know. I mean, I think that'd be exciting to help with that.
Okay. Well, I know that there's lots of fishing, lots of great trout fishing in Colorado too. So we don't have to go. We don't have to go hunt elk. We can do muleys or you know, fly fish. There's an amazing amount of opportunity in that great state.
Right, and there's other organizations that are members of our forum. Maybe a little partnering could happen there too. I don't know. Talking out of turn here.
Yeah, sky's the limit. You know, you just gotta have a good idea. You know, it's really hard to defeat good ideas. You know, and you just gotta have a good idea, and you got to stick to it, and you gotta, you know, if you get knocked down, you gotta get up, and you gotta keep moving, and refuse to fail, and that's what we've done. We just keep plugging away and stay true to your mission. That's the other thing, is, you know, write a good mission statement and stay true to it. Don't wander. People want to pull you off that path. Don't do it. You know, stick to your guns and stick to your knitting, as they say. You know.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, I really, really appreciate your time on the call tonight. I hope this helps you with this program, but I have a feeling we're going to be doing more together. Thank you. Thank you again for your service to our country.
Thank you, Bob, and for all your work, too, with Talking with Heroes, and wish you the best of luck. And I look forward to getting to know you and hopefully meeting you someday, and to all the troops out there. You know, here's a shout-out to you, especially those that get wounded. You know, we're here for you, and there's a whole bunch of other folks too. So don't be afraid to take that step. You need to take that step towards us and others like us, so that we can help.
Absolutely, thank you very much. I'm definitely sure we're going to be talking soon. Thank you very much for being on the program.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks,
God
Bob.
Bless you.
All right. Bye bye. God bless you.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, folks, you've heard it again here on TalkingWithHeroes.com. We've been talking with 20-year Army veteran, retired Lieutenant Colonel John McDaniel, CEO of Wounded Warriors in Action Foundation, www.wwias.org. On Twitter, you can find them by going hashtag WWIAF. On Facebook, also put in search box, WWIAF. And another great organization. I am so grateful for Bert Gillette, the R4 Alliance, calling me. Actually, it was a little over 6 months ago now. I had no idea how things, where things were going with this, but you know, sometimes you just got to kind of go with it, and you realize there's a big plan going on here, and we're just part of it. And so I'm excited to be doing whatever we can do to help to all of our men and women who are serving, who are especially deployed in harm's way. I mean, we've got men and women serving in many areas around the world right now. So be safe, stay alert. I want to let you know also, and you may hear about this, and we've already had this program, but we're going to have a series of programs with some young people who grew up from young age, like 3 and 4 years old, in military families with dads who were deployed or moms who were deployed, and we're going to hear from them coming up. Matter of fact, next week we have our first one. You can find out about all our shows on thankyouforyourservice.us, but if you're on social networking, we're on Facebook, Talking with Heroes, another one on Facebook, Talking with Heroes Program, LinkedIn, Twitter, FootStomp, Google Plus, Pinterest. I'm keeping busy with social networking sites. So when we put a post or announcement about a show, please help us promote it, because that's how this is growing, word of mouth. So thank you, everybody, for listening tonight. God bless you. God bless America.